Right, button down. Okay. Now, I want to talk to you tonight, and I've been just spending time with the Lord this week, and we're trying to get, it's not a series of teachings, but all these messages that we've been giving you these last three or four weeks, sort of run into same kind of theme. One of the things that I'd said last week was that you have to believe in your heart, and I thought, well, we need to talk about what does it mean to believe in your heart. So we're going to talk about that tonight. So go back to the scripture we've been using most nights, and it's Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. And we'll just quickly read through that again. In the King James it says, Mark 11, 22, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God." Now if you were here the last couple of weeks, you'll remember that we had talked previously about that, and that was the time when Jesus had spoken to a fig tree. He come by the next morning, and the disciples notice that it's now rotted, as it were. It's died from the roots upwards. And so it says here in verse 22, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God." And I pointed out to you that it meant have the God kind of faith, or the faith of God, as some versions put it. But verse 23 goes on and he says, "For verily I say unto you," and I think we covered that, saying that what he's saying is this is how God's faith works. You speak to things. And he says, "Verily I say unto you," so he's operating in this God kind of faith, "that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now when you get some time, just read that verse through and note how many times the word say or saith is in it. You'll find there's much more saying than there is believing in the verse. In other words, we've got to do twice as much saying as we do believing. And when you begin to see things like that, then you begin to say, oh, this is what Jesus is on about. Verse 24, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." So, to believe with your heart really means this, that you don't consider your body. It's that simple. To believe with your heart means you don't consider your body. Go to the book of Romans with me, chapter 4, and find out again, the scripture, which we've rehearsed many times, regarding our old friend Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, go to about verse, let's see, 16, I guess. It says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed." You should underline that, all the seed, sometime. "Not only to that which is of the law, but also to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Verse 17. "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not, as though they were." Verse 18 talks about Abraham, "who against hope believed in hope." So that's natural hope and supernatural hope. So he was in natural hope, "who against natural hope believed in supernatural hope," or faith, "that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Verse 19, "being not weak in faith." That means he was strong. "He considered not his own body." So the weak in faith consider their own body. The strong in faith do not consider their own body. So believing in your heart means you do not consider your body. Your body can be telling you all kinds of things. Your body can be saying, "I'm sick, I've got a headache, there's this, 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 and this," and you can write down a list of all the things that your body's telling you, and you can go to the doctor, and the doctor will tell you, yes, 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 and you can tick them all off. That's true, that's true, that's true, that's true. But when you go to the Word of God, you find that God says, "By the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, you were healed before you had the pain." I'm going to say it again, because you didn't all get that. You were healed before you had the pain. The pain is true, it's there, it's in your body, you can't deny it. We're not Christian scientists. We don't deny that the sickness is real, we don't deny the pain is there, it's real, but there is a greater truth, and the greater truth is, by the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, you were healed. So we don't consider our bodies, we consider the Word of God. And I said last week to you that the Word of God has got to be the first word and then the last word, the final authority in all your dealings, no matter what they may be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'd like to just turn over there for a moment with me, you know these verses. I mean, they're not new in the sense that we haven't rehearsed them previously. But we've looked at them many times in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by our senses. The Amplified Bible says, "For we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus, we walk not by sight or appearance." So what our bodies or our medical report is telling us is not where it's at. All those things are true, and we can't deny them, but that's not the last word on it. We preached a message a couple of years ago, I think, on whose report do you believe? In fact, someone's written a song about it now. Whose report do you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. You know, his report says I am this, and his report says I am, and his report says I am, his report says... So I believe the report of the Lord for all of our circumstances. I believe the report of the Lord for Elizabeth's life. I mean, the circumstances that come against us quite often these days tell us contrary to that, but we don't believe that. We believe the Word of God. We take God's Word over the circumstances, and we say, "Thank you, Lord, your Word works." So instead of considering our bodies, we need to consider the Word. We need to consider Jesus. Go to John's Gospel. Let's look at this from another angle again. Gospel of St. John. Now, I'm sharing these Friday nights with a view to helping you come into all that God has already planned for you. In the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter, find chapter 20, go down to about verse 19. And again, you'll remember these verses, I suppose. John 20, verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, there came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side, and were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." The Amplified Bible just says the same thing. "And when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 23, Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Verse 24, this is where I want to get to. It says in verse 24, listen to this. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." This is after the Lord had been to Calvary. He died, was resurrected, and so forth, and he comes, and he's in the midst of them. He came in, there was no door, there he was, right in the middle of them. But Thomas wasn't there. Verse 25, it tells us "When the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord, but he said unto them," listen to this, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, we may not say it as strongly as that, but you know, many times that's our attitude. The doctor has said this, so therefore I cannot believe what God says. And I'm not, you know, trying to make you feel uncomfortable with it. I'm just trying to get you out of the place that you're in and get you to the place where God says you are. See, every day we face a choice. The choice is, are we going to believe God or not? We have to believe the Word of God. So we need to consider the Word of God instead of considering our body. And as we read in Romans chapter 4 about Abraham, it says, "He considered not his body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." And he believed that God was able to produce a child when there was absolutely no natural, normal way that she was ever going to be able to have a child. So when we get into this kind of thinking and we begin to realize what God is able to do, which is anything that we can believe for, then we begin to live at a level that Jesus said we should be at. That is the abundant life level. We live at a level, he says, "I came," John 10:10, "to give you life and to give it more abundantly." The Amplified Bible says, "to give you life in the full till it overflows." And you've heard me say this before, I'm interested in the overflow. I want to get into the overflow. That's why I want to live my life in the overflow level. I want to be there where we have more than we need, and we can help other people get all that they need so they can come to a place where they have more than they need, and they can again reach out and help others. That's our heart. That's what Elizabeth and I want to do. That's where our heart is. We want to get into that place of being in the overflow, and you can come to that place in your own physical welfare. You can come into that overflow level. Jesus said in John 19 and verse 30, and Russell mentioned it earlier, he said, "It is finished." All that he came to do is finished. There's nothing more that he can do for us. He's done it all. It's already done. Now we have to be good receivers. So instead of considering your body, start to consider the Word of God. When you consider your body, you consider your weakness. I'm going to say it again for you. When you consider your body, you consider your weakness. Abraham considered not his body now weak. So when you consider your body, you're looking at your weakness, you're looking at your inability, you're looking at what you can't do. You have to start and look at what God says you can do. We need to consider all that God is doing right now in respect of what he has already done at Calvary through Jesus. So what is he doing in you right now? He's making all things available to you. It tells us in Hebrews, I think it is chapter 7 about there, let me just quickly pick it up for you. Hebrews chapter 7, down toward the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us." Listen to the Amplified Bible. "Therefore he is able to save them to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him, since he is always living to make petition to God, and intercede with him and intervene for them." Jesus is making intercession for us. That's what he's doing right now. Whatever your need is, he is making intercession for you right now. He is taking your petition before God. He's laying it out before God, and he's saying, "My Father, Norman Campbell needs this, or Elizabeth Campbell needs that," or whatever it may be. And so he's laying it out there. He is your person who's speaking on your behalf in the presence of God. Now, the opposite of that is also true. You are his person speaking what he wants spoken out here in the world. Just as he is your voice in heaven, you are his voice in the earth. Think about that. That's another subject, of course. So we need to start and believe with our heart and not with our head. In Hebrews 12 and 2, well, we might read verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 in the Amplified Bible, it says, "Therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off, throw aside every encumbrance, every unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance, with steady and active persistence, the appointed course of the race that is set before us." Verse 2, "looking away from all that will distract." Now let me tell you, the doctor's report will distract. When the doctor says, "You got cancer, or you got diabetes, or you got whatever it is," that is going to distract you. It says, "Look away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive to our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised and ignored the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God." So we need to start believing with our heart and not with our head. See, heart faith will grow from the Word of God. Heart faith grows from the Word of God. What does Romans 10:17 say? You know the verse. Faith what? Cometh. Heart faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. So we need the flappers out and we receive the Word. That creates faith in our heart. Look at John 15, verse 7. Gospel of John 15, 7. Again, these are good little verses to remember, rehearse, and keep before your eyes and in your ears, because they're going to produce. John 15, 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." The Amplified Bible says, "If you live in me, vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you." He says, if my word remains in you and He says, you ask what you will, and it's going to be done for you. So we need to be people then who are people of the word. You know, in past centuries, Christians were known as bookworms because they always had their head stuck in their Bibles. This is long before videos and television and all that. So in the 1800s, they were bookworms. These Christians, they were always reading the book. Well, today we don't have so many bookworms. We've got more tapeworms, I think, than anything else. Because we got all kinds of videotapes and audio tapes and whatever. So we got tapeworms instead of bookworms. But we need to be people of the book. We need to be people who are feeding this word into our heart continually so that we might have heart faith. The fruit is born by the word going in and the faith coming out. I'm going to say it again for you slowly. The fruit is born by the word going in and the faith coming out. That's why it's called the word of faith. So we speak the word, but we can't speak that word unless we first put it in. We put the word in by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. The Holy Spirit works with it in our spirit, and then we speak it out again under his unction. And as we speak out his word, remembering last week, I think it was, we talked from Hebrews chapter 3, where we said Jesus was the high priest of our profession, our homologeo, saying the same thing that God says. So the fruit of what we want is produced by the word going in and the faith coming out. See, God has put all of his thoughts into this book. It's called the Bible. This is it. This is God's thoughts. That's the word of God. It's been taken down over the years and put into, you know, what we can understand and read today. In the original version, we probably wouldn't have had much chance of understanding it. But this is all of his desire for you and for me. Everything that he wants you to have and know is already in here. He says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed, they're for you. So anything you want is in here, and anything you need is in here. You just need to spend some time in it. So put the word first place, and then make it the final authority, as we've said on several different occasions. But in the book of Romans, Paul made this statement in Romans chapter 8, which is a wonderful chapter. I love Romans 8. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, Paul says this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The Amplified Bible says, for those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, they set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, they set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. He says in Colossians 3, set our minds on things above and not on things on the earth. So we need to put our minds on the things of God which are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Because the things on the earth, they're just earthly. They're sensual, James says. So this Word of God, this Bible, is God speaking to you. This is God speaking to you. Do you realize that this word, this Bible that you have on your knee or in your bookcase or wherever you keep it, this takes the place of Jesus that you can't see. He is in your house in the sense that this is his word. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the word was with God and the word was God. That's God. That's Jesus. How do we treat this? Now, he's not going to get mad if we rip a page out or we whatever. That's not the point I'm making. What I'm saying is this, that we need to give this respect and reverence. I'm not saying put it in a case. Not at all. What I'm saying is we need to recognize that this is as Jesus to us. In other words, when we read this, we've got to say, thank you, Lord, I receive your word from this. Now, where you need to really spend your time in reading is really in this section here, which is Romans through to about roughly Hebrews or just thereabouts. That's the life of the church. It's the epistles where Paul has written to the church. Now, the Old Testament is really history. The Gospels is the life of Christ on the earth. And when you get into the book of Acts, it's the Acts of the Apostles. But this is really what is relevant to you and I today. Now, that's not much by comparison to the whole thing, is it? If we would just take time and read the letters to the churches, that's God talking to us. That's God speaking to us. Sure, he can use things from Revelation. Sure, he can use things from Genesis. But they're all as examples that we don't make the same mistakes that they made. Let me just take this a point further and suggest this to you, that when you meditate in the Word of God, you are visiting with Jesus. When you get the Bible out, and Elizabeth does this every day, I'm sitting in my office, I just swing my chair around and I can see her, and she's either got Joyce Meyer on or Kenneth Copeland or whoever it is, and she has about six Bibles spread out on our little coffee table there, and she's got her Amplified, and then she's got a little tiny Amplified, and she's got her King James, she's got a Kenneth Hagin Bible, and several other Bibles all there, and she's reading through all these, and she'll stop the video, and she'll read this, and she'll read that, and she's making little notes. She's preaching for a group of ladies next week. Praise the Lord. So getting back into it again, aren't you, dear? That's all right. They like you. That's why you keep going back, isn't it? So she's got a good meeting on next week. Praise the Lord. God and His Word are really one, because the Word is Jesus. God and the Word are one. Now, the Word is really a contact point. If you want to make contact with God, and you know, you're struggling a little bit, and your prayers don't seem to be getting through for whatever reason, just go back into the Word, and you'll make contact with Him. Why? Because God and His Word are one. So just spend time in here, meditate on it. You might only read one verse, but God can speak to you from one verse and change your life forever. Kenneth Copeland has a new series of books out in the last couple of years, and it's called One Word from God Can Change Your Finances, One Word from God Can Change Your Family, One Word from God Can... and so on. He's done a whole series of them. And so they're all very good little books if you ever want to get a hold of them. So let the Word dominate your thinking. In other words, when you have opportunity to think negatively, don't do so. Think positively. Think, what does God say about the situation? Think, what does God have to say about this? And allow the Word to dominate your thinking. Allow the Word to take the lead. Allow the Word to be what God says it's going to be. Don't allow the circumstances to tell you. When you allow the Word to dominate your life and your thoughts, then the result will be faith. And I want to tell you that your success will be inevitable. Once you get the Word working in your life and it's dominating in your life, you're bound for success. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, Hebrews 10, 35, the King James says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." The Amplified Bible says this: "Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward." I like that. Great and glorious compensation of reward. So we have to become doers of the Word, not hearers only. You come here week by week and you listen to this Word, and we teach it to you with a view to helping you rise up in faith, helping you to grow and mature and come to all that God has for you. So the Word has got to be the first word and the final authority. And I've said this several times to you, that the new creation which you are, you're saying that I'm covered over with the robe of righteousness which Jesus gives to me, I'm covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and so on. And when He looks at me, He no longer sees me as I used to be, He now sees Jesus. So Jesus and you are one. And the new creation person doesn't have a past. See, in your past you had problems and difficulties. In your past you had whatever it may be. So you have to become a believer and not a doubter. On all of our tapes, when we sent them out years and years ago, we haven't done this for a long time, but we used to have a little sticker on the back of all the tapes. And it says, "Feed your faith to life and starve your doubts to death." We used to put that on all the tapes a long, long time ago. Maybe we should start doing that again. So we start to walk by faith. We don't walk by our senses. Remembering that Paul said in Romans 14, that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now that's hard, but it's the Word of God. So whatever's not of faith is sin. We have to be people then who are not in sin, because when you're in sin, you don't please God because you're not in faith. Whatever's not of faith is sin. And Hebrews 11:6 is the other scripture we use there. That was Romans 14:23. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God or be acceptable to Him. For whoever comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So we've got to have this Word prevail in our lives. Now let's just look at maybe one last reference here for you tonight. Our time's just sliding through. In James 1, James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 19, it says this, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. All right, let's stop there for a moment. Sometimes, you see, we, in our exuberant faith, we start making statements about, I'm receiving, you know, $10 million by faith, and God's going to get it to me by Friday afternoon. And, of course, when you tell enough people that, they're all standing around Friday afternoon waiting. But it doesn't happen. And then, you know, we're embarrassed, and the Lord's embarrassed, if he gets embarrassed, because we made a faith statement. Well, see, sometimes we can be in faith. Other times we can be in foolishness. Sometimes we'll be in presumption. So we've got to be in faith. Faith only comes by the word of God. It says, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Why? Faith comes by hearing. But slow to speak. And slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let me read that to you from the Amplified. Understand this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, that is, a ready listener, slow to speak, and slow to take offense and get angry. For the man's anger does not promote the righteousness which God wishes and requires. Verse 21. So get rid of all uncleanness and rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and be humble, gentle, modest in your spirit, and receive and welcome the word which is implanted and rooted in your hearts and contains the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, and being a doer of it, he is like a man who carefully looks at his own natural face in the mirror, and he thoughtfully observes himself, then he goes off and he promptly forgets what he looked like. If we had the mirror here, and we don't have one, but if I'll take my little notebook, if this was a mirror, and we were looking in the mirror, you look in there and you see a reflection. Now what you see in there, oh, there's one up there, wonderful. Oh, if I move that, they'll have to reset it, but that's all right, they can do that. Who can you see in there? All right, here's the mirror. When you look in the mirror, who do you see?
Me.
You see me. Irene sees me. Somebody else sees me. I look in there, I see a new creation.
Oh.
See, we read that verse, so let me read it to you again. The man looking in the mirror, let me read it again. It says, For anyone who only listens to the word without obeying it, and being a doer of it, he's like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror, and he thoughtfully observes himself, then he goes off and he promptly forgets what he looked like. Now, I want to say this to you, and I say this with affection and love to all of you tonight, that if our brother Paul got a police sketch artist to visit us tonight, and we sat him behind the screen here so he couldn't see you, and we got each one of you to come out and describe yourself to him so he couldn't see you, I guarantee you that when he would be drawing the men, it would be Arnold Schwarzenegger, etc. And the ladies might be, well, maybe like Marilyn Monroe or whoever the latest fashionable lady is. See, we forget what we look like. You cannot, you recognize yourself, but you can't describe yourself. And that's what the word is saying. So we need to reflect in the Word of God. We need to see ourselves as the Word tells us. We need to see ourselves as a new creation. See yourself the way God says you are, not what your natural reflection is. Your natural reflection, you're looking at your body, which is weak. You're seeing the weakness in your flesh. You need to see what God says. God says, you're more than a conqueror. God says, you can do all things through Christ. And when you look in that mirror tomorrow morning or tonight before you go to bed, depends how vain you are, I suppose. When you look in that mirror, you've got to decide, am I going to believe what I see, or am I going to believe what I see? See, what are you seeing? Are you seeing this, or are you seeing this? You need to look in here and see what God says about you. God says, you're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ. All things that pertain to life and godliness have already been given to you, etc., etc. So you start reflecting in that. And when you start reflecting in that, now listening to this, it's going in your ear, comes in your heart, and then it comes out of your mouth as faith. And when you start speaking faith, guess what? You're pleasing God. When you're pleasing God, he's going to make sure you get all the things that you desire. Hallelujah. Well, our time's, well, it hasn't gone. We've still got 10 minutes, but I just sense in my heart we need to stop about there. Praise the Lord. Now, does anyone need or would like prayer? I didn't say the word need, but you'd like us to agree with you in prayer tonight? We're happy to pray with you. If you want us to lay hands on you, we'll lay hands on you. We don't do this very often, but I just felt tonight that maybe we should do that. And if what we want to try and do is get you to get your eyes off you and get them back onto the Word of God. Is there anyone who would like prayer? Okay, one, two. Anyone else? Is that it? Just two? If there's only two, then we know what to do. Is that them all? Two. That's good. Come out, girls. Two of you. Come out here. We'll pray for you. Russell, come and join me. Elizabeth, would you come too? Praise the Lord. When it's ladies, I always get my wife to lay hands on them. Your name's gone again. Enza. Okay. It went out the window, but it's come back. Enza. Would you lay hands on Enza for me? Father, in the name of Jesus, for Enza, right now, we thank you for the anointing. Lord, you said that you sent your word and you heal us. So, Lord, as we lay our hands on Enza, let that anointing come into her, through her, Father, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, bring refreshing and restoration. Father, everything she needs right now, we receive it because we agree on your word. We look to your word. Your word is the first word, and it's also the last word in her life. So, Father, thank you for touching her. Let that anointing come on her right now. Minister to her. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Just receive all of that. Receive all of that. Receive all of that. That's fine. Take it all. That's okay. Just take it all. Thank you, Father. Let that flow through you. Let that flow through you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, for Irene, in the name of Jesus, let that anointing come on her right now. We thank you for the anointing. Yes. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Father, in every situation in her life, Father, in every family situation in her life, in every financial situation in her life, Father, we release your anointing into it right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Now take all of that. Take all of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that anointing, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. For Jody, Lord, you know her heart, you know her needs. Now, Father, we just simply lay our hands upon her. Father, let your perfect will be done. Yes. Your perfect will, Father. In the name of Jesus. 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 Father, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Father, from the tips of her fingers to the tips of her toes, let that anointing flow through her. And Father, we speak wholeness and restoration in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, everything. Now receive all of it, Jody. Don't miss any. Don't miss any. Let that anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive it, Lord. We receive it. We receive it. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Rabba Shadda Dudushitu. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Puvaru Dududushita da da pa 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 pa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let that flow. Let that flow. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shada da da ba 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 sa ba ba ba. Thank you, Lord. Receive everything, Jody. Receive everything. Total, complete, forgiven, wholeness, everything. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just move back a little bit, Jody, and you can sit down for a second. All right? Sorry, there you go. Just sit down. That's a girl. Hallelujah. Just you sit down. Praise the Lord. Now, is there anyone else you need us to agree with you tonight? Everybody happy with that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
We go.
Right, Harry. You right there? Oops, and Daisy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Now 10 minutes to nine. Hi, Joy. Good to see you. You've been working. All right. Well, we were thinking about you. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to have a little supper. There's some goodies out there, and some drinks, and some coffee, and some tea. If there's anyone that you see not here tonight, in other words, if you're looking around and you're missing someone, why don't you give them a call and say, hey, we missed you Friday, come next week. Don't forget, if you are directed by the Lord to put something into our offering basket, we appreciate that. Pray for Elizabeth and I on the weekend. We're going to Warrnambool tomorrow. We've got meetings down there. Those of you who were at the camp with us will remember Roz Singleton. Roz lives in Warrnambool, and she's asked us to come down. She's got some people together, and so we're going to be teaching tomorrow night, and I'm not sure what's happening Sunday, but we're going to be there from tomorrow morning through Monday morning. So we're rejoicing in God. So keep us in prayer and believe that God will minister to people, and they will grow in the Word, and we believe that all of our needs will be met too. Praise the Lord. So just to keep us in prayer, don't forget, if you want to put an offering in there, you do that as the Lord directs you. If you've got a songbook, please put it on the front table here or on the seat so we can put them in there, back into the bookcase. We appreciate you. Praise the Lord. Anthony, would you like to close in prayer for us and also just ask the Lord's blessing on our supper? Thank you.